adjustments today, because a lot of the songs I picked, they're not on the CJSF playlist as CJSF HD playlist, as they are updated every month. So I would like to play a song. It will be Alan Deanna with Wild Rose. That was Wild Rose from Alina Deanna, a beautiful tune for sure. Now I would like to shift gears to the Northwest League, where the Vancouver Canadiens play at this time. High A League, three levels below Major League Baseball. On May 25th, the Vancouver Canadiens edged the hosts Hillsboro Hawks 2-1 at Ron Tonkin Field in Hillsboro, Oregon. The Eugene Emeralds shaded the visitor Spokane Indians 3-2 at PK Park in Eugene, Oregon. And the host Everett Aqua Sox exercised the Tri-City Dust Devils 7-1 at Funko Field in Everett, Washington. On May 26, Vancouver grounded Hillsboro 1 with 3 runs in the top of the ninth. Everett defeated Tri-City 5-3 and Spokane shellacked Eugene 7-2. There were two venue changes on May 28th. Spokane walked off Everett 8-7 in 10 innings at Avista Stadium in Spokane Valley, Washington. Hillsboro quad damaged Eugene with 4 runs in the bottom of 8th at Ron Tonkin Field in Hillsboro, Oregon, and Tri-City of Vancouver was rained out. On May 29th, Hillsboro edged Eugene 3-2. Spokane bested Everett 8-5 despite the latter's 3 runs in the top of the 9th, and Tri-City shaded Vancouver 5 in Rogers Field and Nat Bailey in Vancouver, BC. On May 30th, Hillsboro blanked Eugene 4-0 in an all-Oregon matchup. Everett edged Spokane 1-0, and Vancouver shut out Tri-City 3-0. 4 games are on tap today with 1 final. Vancouver walked off Tri-City 1-0 and won up their doubleheader as Esteban Machado scored on a Jade Bofarin's fielder's choice, which likely means that Jace Bofarin was. Let me look who was the batter at the time. Vancouver Canadiens won 1-0 as, yep, Jace Bofarin reached on a fielder's choice fielded by second baseman Caleb Ketchup. Chances are second baseman for Tri-City, Caleb Ketchup, decided to throw first, believing that he had no play at home. Esteban Machado scored as Vancouver walked off Tri-City in 7 innings, 1-0. Game 2 will be on soon, as there have been a lot of rain recently in Vancouver. In fact, the two are warming up at this time. Later games feature Eugene at Hillsboro and Everett and Spokane, both resuming at 6:35. All times are Pacific.
Music Waste is celebrating its 30th year as Vancouver's premier DIY festival, bringing you over 70 bands and dozens of local artists to all your favorite venues since 1994. Music Waste will run the weekend of June 6th to 9th, side by side with Art Waste. With a theme of trash, Art Waste is set to be filled with superb pieces of 2D, 3D, and video art from local artists. Check out the lineup for Music Waste and buy a pass or individual tickets today on musicwaste.ca.
Here are the current standings in the Northwest League, which is in the first half. The Spokane Indians, an affiliate of the Colorado Rockies, are first at 26-18. The Eugene Emeralds, an affiliate of the San Francisco Giants, are second at 24-23, much like the Hillsboro Hawks, an affiliate for the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Vancouver Canadiens, an affiliate for the Toronto Blue Jays, are fourth at 21-23. The Tri-City Dust Devils, an affiliate of the Los Angeles Angels, which play out of Anaheim, are 5th at 22-25. The Everett Aqua Sox, an affiliate for the Seattle Mariners, are last at 21-26.
Through Tree Canada's National Greening Program, native tree seedlings are planted across Canada, creating a widespread impact. Planted trees provide habitat, prevent soil erosion, and reforest areas that have suffered tree loss due to pests and weather. Tree Canada performs 1, 2, and 5-year assessments to monitor tree survival and ensure the trees planted are on track to meet the forest cover goals of the site. To learn more or to get involved, go to treecanada.ca.
Now I'd like to talk about the Surrey Police transition at this time. It has been a very polarizing issue for Surrey, the second largest and fastest growing city, for over the last 6 years. The then mayor, Doug McCallum, pursued a Surrey Police Service, which was approved by the BC government in 2020. Fast forward to 2022, Brenda Locke, who campaigned to stop the Surrey Police Service, became the mayor by beating McCallum with less than 1,000 votes on October 15, 2022. But Mike Farnworth, Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, ordered Surrey City to continue with the Surrey Police Service on July 19, 2023. However, Locke hasn't given up her fight to keep the Surrey RCMP. On October 13th, Surrey filed a petition to the BC Supreme Court for a judicial review of the BC government's decision. The BC government responded on October 16th as Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, tabled a legislation in the BC Legislature in Victoria, which are amendments to the BC Police Act, i.e., Bill C-36-2023, Police Amendment Act 2023, where a key change is: municipalities need to complete police transition plans approved by the Ministry of Public Safety and Solicitor General, which directly targets Surrey. On October 25th, the BC Police Amendment Act passed a third reading, with 56 voting for and 27 against. One day later, BC's Police Amendment Act became law after it received royal assent, as BC's Lieutenant Governor Janet Austin approved the law on October 26th. On November 16th, Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, appointed Mike Sir, the former Abbotsford Police Chief who retired last fall, as the administrator of the Surrey Police Board, suspended all 8 members of the Surrey Police Board, and removed Brenda Locke, the Surrey Mayor, as the SPB Chair. Surrey launched a second petition on November 20th, this time challenging if the BC Police Amendment Act 2023 is constitutional. 10 days later, on November 30th, Mike Sir, the administrator of the Surrey Police Board, in the first meeting as the SPB administrator, said he approved a provisional budget for the Surrey Police Service in 2024, which he forwarded to the Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke in Council the same day. On January 25th, 2024, Mike Sir, the Surrey Police Board's administrator, released the SPS 2024 budget in a press conference, which was submitted to Surrey City on November 30, 2023. With the SPS having deployed 215 officers at the time, $141.5 million were requested, 42% of the policing funds available, at a total of $337 million, for 180 officers, which would increase the total of SPS officers to 526, 67% of all Surrey Police officers by the end of 2024, with Surrey's targeted number at 785. The SPS budget numbers were developed with Jessica McDonald, Strategic Implementation Advisor, and Deloitte, an independent accounting firm, assumed the Surrey RCMP will ramp down. Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, during a press conference later on, said if Surrey doesn't agree, the Director of Police Services will make a decision based on submissions from the city and police. The Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke responded later on January 25th, as she claimed the suggestion that the transition would go forward without residents being forced to pay more is disingenuous and exposes lack of knowledge and due diligence by the BC NDP government, according to her press release on the Surrey City website. On April 4th, Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, introduced further amendments to the BC Police Act to municipal police management, where local governments with municipal police forces can choose one representative each. Members of each local police board can elect chair and vice chair. Currently, the mayor of each municipality with their own police force is the chair, except Surrey, as Farnworth removed Brenda Locke last November due to allegations of her obstructing the Surrey Police Service. Also, the Police Complaint Commissioner can call public hearings during misconduct investigations, do systemic reviews, and lead investigations into police complaint causes, contributing factors, as part of Bill 17. On April 9th, Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, told told reporters in the BC legislature that Surrey actually approached the BC government in January, revealed the additional offer to be $100 million over 5 years to a total of $250 million over the next decade and the deadline at 4 p.m. However, Surrey rejected the offer shortly after 3 p.m., less than an hour to the deadline, according to a BC government press release, where Farnworth also responded that $150 million will be used to complete the transition. Several events occurred on April 22nd. The SPS tweeted out their updated employee numbers to 428, where a link also provided the breakdown. 367 officers and 61 civilian employees. Also on April 22nd, the Surrey City Council approved a 6% property tax increase, 1% increase in the roads and tax levy, on top of higher utility fees, where Mayor Brenda Locke and her Surrey City Council voted for, with four councillors against. Linda Annis of the Surrey First commented the tax increase is 10.5% overall, given a 3.5% bump in utilities a while back, according to Tom Sterak of Surrey Now Leader. During the afternoon of April 23rd, Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, announced the Surrey Police Service will become Surrey's police jurisdiction on November 29, 2024. There will be no federal or provincial legislative changes required. RCMP and SPS officers will work under a collaborative agreement and will provide a notice to Surrey to end the Municipal Police Unit Agreement, i.e. Surrey RCMP. The SPS Chief Norm Lipinski, who mentioned 367 officers and 61 civilian employees within, added that he will ramp up hiring. Dwayne McDonald, the RCMP Deputy Commissioner, acknowledged work between the Federal Public Ministry and provincial government, and the RCMP will provide assistance until the transition completes, where BC RCMP officers will be working with the SPS. The Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke fired back on April 23rd in a press release as she was skeptical of Farnworth's target date of when the SPS will become Surrey's POJ on November 29th, 2024, due to lack of details, and further pointed out that substantial plans have never been completed. On April 24th, the Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke followed up with a bombshell in another press release, claiming the Deloitte report commissioned by the BC government, which Surrey requested last year but only got it on April 24th, revealed the SPS will cost Surrey taxpayers a whopping $750 million over the next 10 years, far greater than Surrey's estimates of $464 million. The $750 million cost for the SPS with 958 officers as POJ and with two-person vehicles will cost $45 million more than keeping the Surrey RCMP annually, according to Surrey's press release. Jas Joel of CKNW tweeted several pictures of the Deloitte report, which outlined three scenarios. A. Keeping the Surrey RCMP. B. The SPS with 734 officers. And C. The SPS with 900 officers with two-person vehicles. The SPS quickly responded on Twitter with its updated numbers of 367 sworn officers and 61 employees. A link on the tweet provided a detailed breakdown of 367 sworn officers. Brenda Locke had a press conference during the afternoon of April 24th, where she blasted the BC government for lack of transparency on the SPS. However, according to Gordon Hoekstra of the Vancouver Sun, Locke's comparisons are not apples to apples, as she compared 734 RCMP officers with 900 SPS officers, as Deloitte used 940 SPS, as the province quoted the number as Surrey's authorized strength. 734 versus 734 SPS and Surrey RCMP was shown to be about a $34.5 million gap, with the SPS being higher. Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, dismissed the Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke's comparison as disingenuous, as he claimed that one can't compare 734 versus 900 officers. On April 29th, the BC NDP government in Surrey squared off in the BC Supreme Court in Vancouver on Surrey's legal challenge against the BC government directing the city to continue with the SPS, presided by the Justice Kevin Liu. On May 3rd, the five-day hearing between Surrey and the BC NDP government on the latter directing the city to continue with the SPS concluded. During the final submissions, according to Tom Zaterog of Surrey Now Leader, The Surrey City lawyer Craig Dennis said, the BC government directing Surrey to continue with the SPS was done without studying its impacts. Trevor Bant, the BC government lawyer, countered with the following. While the Minister Farnworth is sensitive to the costs of the SPS, his ultimate responsibility is to ensure adequate and effective level of policing throughout BC. As he concluded that Surrey's plan was not safe, the $75 million dollar difference between the Surrey RCMP and SPS was based on apples and oranges, 734 Surrey RCMP officers versus 900 SPS. Craig Dennis, the Surrey City lawyer, responded to Bant by saying Farnworth's power was to, quote, merely approve or not Surrey's plan to keep the RCMP, thus Farnworth exceeded his jurisdiction. Also on May 3rd, the SPS welcomed 12 recruits who will train in the Justice Institute of British Columbia. On May 6th, during a Surrey City Council meeting, the city's general manager, Cam Graywell, said there would have been no tax increase without the SPS, where the budget with the Surrey RCMP is $221.5 million, with a difference of $33.5 million, a 7% tax increase from 1% on roads and 6% on general tax increase, the fourth and final approval for Surrey's 2024 budget, which included 26 bylaw approvals, was passed along the party lines, where Mayor Brenda Locke and her Surrey Connect councillors voted for, with four other councillors against. Doug Elford of the Save Surrey Coalition, which pursued the SPS under the previous mayor Doug McCallum, confirmed Surrey had a surplus, to which Linda Annis of Surrey First chimed in as $83 million. Graywell responded that surpluses are mainly used to pay down city's infrastructure, according to Tom Sitarek of Surrey Now Leader, one day after the meeting on May 7th, when the SPS also announced their Class 173 recruits graduating from the JIBC and deployed onto Surrey streets with their field officers. On May 13th, the Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke gave another press release on the Surrey City website, also announced on Twitter. Based on Section 27, Subsection 3.1 of the BC Police Act, added on April 25, 2024, where any municipality with a municipal police board can object any part of its budget to the municipal police board and director of police services by May 15th. Law continued that Surrey will uphold its police budget, passed on May 6th at $221.5 million, $37 million lower than the SPS and Surrey RCMP's proposed budgets, which will fund more than the joint strength, the SPS and Surrey RCMP, of 785 officers at a property tax increase of 7%. On May 23rd, the BC Supreme Court Justice Kevin Liu rejected Surrey's petition against the BC government in directing the city to continue with the SPS, upheld amendments to the BC Police Act, which mandates Surrey to continue with the SPS, and Surrey can fund the SPS, as the Justice Liu estimated the SPS will cost $32 million more per year, between $50 to $120 per Surrey resident, thus rejecting all of Surrey's three arguments. While Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, applauded the decision, where he also added that $150 million will be used to fund the transition, along with the SPS Chief Norm Lipinski, as he mentioned, the Surrey's JR impacted 427 employees and their families, according to multiple sources. The Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke had a press conference on the afternoon of May 23rd, where she said she will have to consult with her counsel on a possible appeal while wearing a red jacket, similar to what the RCMP officers wear, trashed the BCNDP MLAs and non-Surrey Connect counselors as the higher policing costs for a municipal police force, quote, more than willing to find acceptable for our residents, end quote, according to Gordon Hoekstra of the Vancouver Sun. The next day on May 24th, Hoekstra also reported on the Surrey Police Board asking the BC government to impose a police budget on Surrey as its $141 million request to the city for 180 officers was rejected this month. Also on May 24th, the SPB provided their agenda for another meeting where it provided a detailed breakdown of SPS expenditures up to April at under $21.15 million, with the year projection at just over $141.5 million, with 390 active employees, 350 sworn officers, and 40 civilians at just under $24.2 million. On May 29th, according to Rob Shaw of Orca, the BC Premier David Eby opened the door for negotiations 2 days before, where $150 million are still officially on the table. Also on May 29th, the Surrey Police Board had another meeting. Let me provide the actual numbers the SPB has provided. Just a minute, please. So the agenda was provided on May 24th. The active number of employees are not the total number of employees within the SPS, from what I understand. So up to April, they had actually 399 active employees, 350 sworn members, 39 regular and permanent civilians, and 10 temporary civilians. The SPS operations include salaries and benefits of just over $24 million for 392 employees, 350 sworn members, and 42 civilians. These details were shared on May 29th when the SPB had their latest meeting. As for the latest numbers, there doesn't seem to be an update. So while they have 350 officers as of April active, the total number is actually 367. Now I'd like to go back to the Northwest League, as the Tri-City Dust Devils and Vancouver Canadians are scheduled to play game two of their doubleheader. Right now, it's top of first with Tri-City batting. Much like game one, game two will just go seven innings.
On average, every 6 days, a woman in Canada is killed by her intimate partner. The women in our communities deserve to feel safe from both emotional and physical abuse. They deserve men who control their anger. Most importantly, they deserve to know the people they love most will never hurt them. Men like me stand up to create a safer world for the women in our lives, and we're looking to men like you, the men who make up our communities, to join us. You can play an active part to end violence. Visit www.whiteribbon.ca.
Thank you for listening to episode 20 of the Steve Chong Show in 2024, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. Coming up at 4, it is Voice of the North. Now to the last tune, B44. It's a new album from Devastator, Conjurers of Cruelty. The track is Beyond the Gate. The following content may have some explicit language. The listener discretion is advised.
broadcasting on the internet and at 90.